How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to day 26 of Preparation for Resurrection. Our title today is When God Chooses. Rod Mattoon said, David plays an important role in the Bible. More space is devoted to David in the scriptures than any other person except Jesus Christ. Jesus was called the Son of David and the root and offspring of David. Jerusalem is the city of David. Saul was man's pick for a king and he failed. David is God's choice, who is blessed and used of God, and also repents when he falters and fails. Our text today is 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons, and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance, or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "And there remain yet a youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. We begin the fourth week of the season of Lent with Samuel's anointing of David as Israel's next king. David plays a vital role in the genealogy of Jesus, as the New Testament genealogies in both Matthew and Luke link Jesus' ancestry to him and confirm his messianic identity as the son of David. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' descent through David's son, Solomon, while Luke traces his lineage through David's son, Nathan. This dual ancestry illustrates how Jesus, as a descendant of David, fulfilled the prophecies of a Messiah from Davidic lineage. Therefore, the rise of David to king is a critical link in the prophecy of a coming Messiah. Dale Ralph Davis centers on this theme of 1 Samuel 16. The key word in this chapter provides its theme. Yahweh's words introduce this theme in verse 1. "I have seen among his sons a king for myself." That is quite literal. The verb is ra'ah, which in this case carries the sense of provide, as in Genesis 22, 8, and 14. This root occurs 9 times in this chapter, not readily visible in English translations. It appears as a verb meaning provide, or see, look at, and as nouns meaning appearance. The ideas of looking and providing in this root contrast with the not chosen in verses 8, 9, and 10. Hence, the one Yahweh looks to and provides will be his chosen one. That is the theme of chapter 16, Yahweh's choice. In 1 Samuel, so much hangs on choices. Israel chose the ark in chapter 4, and disaster followed. Israel chose a king in chapter 8, another disaster. But now, the godly Samuel is on the scene. Surely we can trust the faithful prophet of God with the fortunes of God's kingdom? No, the kingdom is safe only with Yahweh. Just as in chapter 3, Eli had to direct young Samuel, now God must correct a mature Samuel. One can understand Samuel's thinking. Eliab was doubtless an impressive hunk of manhood, around 6'2", perhaps, about 225 pounds, met people well, all man, but with social grace, excellent taste in aftershave lotion, and so on. Perhaps he'd start as wide receiver for the Bethlehem High School football team. Perhaps he made the all-Judean all-star team. Samuel was not alone in his estimate of Eliab. Many thought Future was Eliab's middle name. If we are mesmerized, Yahweh is not. He can see clearly. It's not what man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks on the heart. Such is the principle of God's operation. Samuel looks at Eliab and is sure he sees Yahweh's anointed. Only Yahweh's "I have rejected him" saves Israel from ruin. Jesse introduced Abinadab and Shema for Samuel's inspection. In each case, the verdict was the same. Yahweh has not chosen this one. Now Samuel has met seven sons, and the decision has been the same each time. Yahweh has not chosen these. Puzzling, especially when one places Yahweh's revelation of verse 1, "I have provided myself a king among his sons." Beside his non-provision of verse 10, "Yahweh has not chosen these," Samuel can only ask the logical question. Were these the full tally of Jesse's lads? "There still remains the youngest," Jesse confessed, "but, well, he's keeping the sheep." Who knows exactly what that meant, aside from the matter of fact? Did Jesse expect Samuel to say, "Right, you can't leave sheep unattended"? Or did he mean to imply, "That's where he is, but who knows how long it'll take to run him down? Could take quite a while." But Samuel cut the matter down to the bone when he said, "Send and get him," especially when he added that there would be no sacrificial meal until the youngest son arrived. No shepherd, no food. He came, sheep smell and all. It's the stuff songs are made of, like in Psalm 78, 70. "This is the one," Yahweh said. God leads and guides the selection of David as Israel's next king, which aligns with God's providential plan for the Messiah to be called the Son of David. Today's scripture reveals the sovereignty of God and the heart with which God looks when he calls his leaders to the forefront. Today, focus on your heart being pure for God and listen for his call in your life. Then watch as he provides. Consider these questions. How does 1 Samuel 16 contrast Saul and David? What does the answer to the first question reveal about the difference between the world's choice and God's choice? In what ways has God provided for you? As you contemplate the extent of your answer, take time today to praise him for his providential care. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.